You know, you got to keep up with God and the things that's happening. It's our responsibility to keep up with Him. Amen? That's why it's important to be filled, dressed, and possessed. There's something that the Spirit revealed to me this morning, and you know, sometimes we take it for granted and don't even realize it. That there's a process we are divinely equipped. Divinely equipped. Everyone say divinely equipped. This is where the Father is doing everything to equip me and you. We are being equipped. Now listen, we're not being equipped for worldliness. We're being equipped from eternal realm, from the council of eternity. God is equipping us. It is a divine equipping. Why? Not to maintain here, but to take dominion here. That's where the word power is about. Power. P-O-W-E-R. Power. We need to have power, don't we? You know what power is to me? It's a positioned overseer with eternal realm. Say, I'm a positioned overseer with the eternal realm. That means you have dominion over all things here. That's what power is all about. And without power, you and I can do nothing. Now, there's soulish power, there's flesh power, and there's demonic power. Amen? But we want the power that's pure. It's pure love. God's power is pure love. Ephesians 4:17. Oh, hallelujah. It's good to hear the pen scratching on a Sunday morning. Verse 17, let's begin. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk. Walk. Oh, that's 17. I'm sorry. I want to start at 7. All right, back to tape up. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, what's grace? God's plan. So everyone was born with a part of God's plan. Somebody get it? Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth to kick butt on the enemy? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? The equipping of the saints, divinely equipping. We are being equipped, and that equipping never stops. For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, you and I were born with a measure of the plan of God. Your mission. You were born with a mission. See, the enemy wants to abort that mission. If he can kill you before you can fulfill it, he gets a point. See, there's a big game going on here. Your mission is to fulfill the call, purpose, and destiny. We know what that is. Called us to what? Battle. Purposes to what? Destroy Satan's kingdom, destinies infiltrate the world system. You are in the process of getting divinely equipped for an eternal purpose, not a carnal purpose. Amen? See, what he's trying to do is get us to reach a unity of faith and a level of immovable faith. He wants to increase in me and you the knowledge of Jesus, which is the relationship in the Spirit. Until we reach the fullness of the anointing. Now, that fullness of the anointing is associated with the mind, heart, will, desires of Christ. Amen? So that He is now taking possession of us. And it's no longer we that live, but Him that lives. It says here, why does this have to happen? Verse 14. So that we should no longer be children. Children of what? Children of the world and children of wrath. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, misled constantly, confused. And what does it say? By the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. So that's a process where we are maintaining the love of the truth and we desire to grow and learn and maintain a thirst and hunger for righteousness. Listen, the more you love God, the more you hate evil. When you find yourself not loving, not hating evil, that means you're drifting from loving God. It says here, verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, that's cooperation, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself, where? In love. In love. The objective of the divine counsel is first to disconnect us from the world of deception, lust, and fear. Three things are major. The divine counsel of the Lord is to disconnect us from the world of deception, lust, and fear. Deception, lust, and fear. And these are all associated with what we call emotional seeds of influence or corruption. These are emotional seeds. The emotional seeds of influence and are known as emotional seeds of corruption. The purpose of the divine equipping is so that you and I learn to engage in spiritual warfare, which is lacking in the body of Christ. The eyes are on self too much. There's an eye problem. Lucifer had that eye problem. Got him thrown out of the presence of God. Hallelujah. Again, we're learning to engage in spiritual warfare to fulfill your mission of the call, purpose, and destiny while maintaining the level of integrity and reaching the level of trust. See, there's that place where God trusts you, but He can't trust someone that doesn't trust Him. So there's that level of integrity with Him where we're expressing His character. And as we see His, as He sees His character expressed more and more in us, He gives us challenges to trust us. Because we're always earning His trust or we're losing His trust. Amen. In Jeremiah 17, divinely equipped. Again, this is the area to where we have to disconnect from the worldliness of religiosity and the traditions of religion and come out of that and come to the reality that this is a military operation. This is a military operation ordained by God the Father so that you and I could be equipped. He equipped Jesus. Jesus was the Word. He was totally equipped. Amen? He was the anointed one, and his anointing, he was equipped. But he could not exchange what he had gotten and give it to anyone until he died. That was the only way that it could get to me and you. And it was done by his Spirit. But first he had to cleanse the way, and he cleansed it by his blood. That's why we repent. Why? Because the blood must be activated first. And then the Spirit always follows the blood. So when there's no repentance, there's no Spirit. It shuts the door to the Spirit of God. Jeremiah 17:5. Would you read it with me? Thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Well, man, well, there's a lot of people in this world that are cursed. Cursed. Cursed is an area where it says evil welcome. Does everybody get it? Evil welcome. Why? Because where there's a curse, it is an open door. It's an open area where the devil has access to an individual. That's why he warns us. Well, man, rob God. Well, you rob me from my tithes and offerings. Well, you're cursed. That means the enemy's going to come and steal it anyways. Hallelujah. Verse 6, if this is what it should be, that person will be. This is what a curse brings. He shall be like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. In other words, dry. Dry. Very dry. That's where people become religious. Ever get around a dry drunk? They're miserable. There is no joy at all. They're miserable, man. So this is what happens. A curse is a person who trusts in their own strength, their own abilities, their own talents. Can God trust that person? No, they're cursed. Is God going to trust anyone that's cursed? No. They bring the curse on themselves. But verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now see, that is so powerful because many people say they trust God, but then they don't trust him when they go into trials. They don't trust him when their check is short. They don't trust him when somebody breaks in their car. They don't trust him when they run that red light by mistake. They don't trust them. See, truly trusting in God knows that he's got the last say. Amen? Truly trusting in God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Truly trusting in God says, man, I don't see it happen, but I know it's going to. Truly trusting in God is an area where you're maintaining peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Truly trusting in God is knowing that even when you're ill and you feel like whatever, you're going through pains and struggles and so forth, that God's going to bring you through. Does everybody get it? He's going to bring you through. Truly trusting in God is knowing he's going to take you home to heaven. Truly trusting in God. See, so it doesn't matter what happens. I know I'm going home. You can't prevent me from going home. Unless we give it up. Amen. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a what? A tree planted by the what? Waters. Who spreads out his roots by the river. It will not what? Fear. When heat comes. When trial comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be what? Anxious in the year of drought. See, a person that's fearful and anxious wants everything now. has no trust in God. That's because they don't know him. See, when you, the more you know him, the more you trust him. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. Hallelujah. He says here, he warns us, look at, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, test the thoughts. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his what? Doings. Bless, trusting in the Lord. Curse, trust in self and worldly influence. Amen? What they're actually trusting in is the emotional seeds of corruption. James chapter 3. Jesus, and they trust Jesus until they're tested. And they blow it all. James 3, when a person comes to a place and says, that's it, I'm done, I give up. That's a great place. Finally, you gave up on yourself. Then you surrender to him. You know, you get a point where you're finally tired of fighting for your life. James 3:13. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of what? Wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and emotion. Yes, it's a corruptible emotion. And self-seeking in your hearts. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So where there's confusion, evil is there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, we have a new way of life, divinely equipped. It's expressing the divine conduct and wisdom, rejecting emotional seeds of corruption that nullify your mission of authority. And what does the word say? Don't touch anything unclean. Don't touch anything unclean. Why? It nullifies. It drains. It's like opening a door to releasing the water you've been saving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Power. Power. Positioned overseer with the eternal realm. Power. Why? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the what? In the power of God. In other words, trusting in the power of God, knowing that there is nothing that can come against the power of God. Nothing. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. Among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to what? They're coming to nothing. Well, see, they think they've outwitted God. They think that they're smarter than God. There's no fear of God. We're seeing it all over. That's what the Antichrist kingdom is all about. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, so faith, not in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God, or in the power of the Christ. You and I were divinely equipped and constantly being divinely equipped. Faith is a divine equipment. Hope is the divine equipment. We're to be lovers of the truth. Amen? That's divine equipment. But without the power of Christ, we can do nothing. We become religious. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolish to those who are what? Perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the what? Power of God. It is the what? Power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Very powerful. The power of God, that is the Christ, the anointing, the wisdom of God, this is an equipping. This is an equipping. See, even when you are equipped, you still have to maintain it. And I think so many people lose sight about that area of maintaining. Many people lose their deliverance because of things that they didn't maintain. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2:2-1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Is everybody okay? You know, coming to the reality that God has stretched his hand toward you and said, I am equipping you. Come on, think about this. The creator of everything has chosen you to be equipped to overcome anything and anything that comes against you. The word says, if God be with you, what? Who can be against you? We are divinely equipped and maintaining that equipping from God Almighty. The Father chose me and you to be equipped, to be eternally sealed and stamped as an officer, as an ambassador, as a steward of the mysteries of God, and a servant to the anointing. What an awesome thing it is. But so many times we drift from that reality. We lose sight. We get caught up in our own emotional corruptible seeds. We get caught up in everyday life. And we're not supposed to come out of everyday life. We do a lot of what if. What if? God never what if'd. He said, it is. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Verse 1, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace and the plan, right? That is in Christ Jesus, the plan for me and you. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to what? Teach others. You therefore must what? Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen, just because God called you doesn't mean you're not going to be attacked. Amen? Yeah, but you're divinely equipped to overcome every attack. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. What are the affairs of this life? Emotional, corruptible seeds. Amen? These are emotional seeds of corruption. No one engaged in this warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Everyone say, I'm a soldier. I've been enlisted. In fact, you've been drafted. Drafted and grafted. Is everybody okay? And also, if anyone competes in the athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Hallelujah. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I am saying. May the Lord give you what? Understanding in what? All things. Spiritual warfare, soldier, not entangled in emotional seeds of corruption, but maintain a divine position in divine order with wisdom and understanding, which we know is discernment. Amen? You know, the world is a mess. Amen? You can look outside and see it's a mess. You can look on the news and see all kinds of... You got to remember, the Antichrist is creating racialism, all kinds of stuff. You know, believe me, we do not have a skin problem in this country or this world. We have a sin problem. Amen? It's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. Because if you're truly a Christian, you don't look at anything. You look at fruits and the desires of an individual's hearts. Amen? And you keep your eyes on the Lord. But we do not have a skin problem. We have a sin problem. Amen. And Matthew 16. And what do they try to do? They try to cause man to come against man. Well, the powers of darkness sit back and they entice things, so man kills one another, and then they get rewarded by how much bloodshed they have. See, the powers of darkness get promoted by how much bloodshed. And those that are servants of darkness get promoted in how much human bloodshed they can produce. In verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Again, here is the reality, and so important. Listen, we read what the Word says about Jesus. Amen? We hear what preachings and teachings say. We hear other people's testimony. But that's not what he's asking about. Because then he says, what do you say who I am? That's where you know him. See, not many know him. They know about him, but they don't know him. And knowing him is the area where you're in time with him. You fellowship with him. You invite him into every area of your life. And he begins to invite you into every area of his life. And there's a life exchange. See, now, so he says to them, what did he say? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And only one of them stood up, Simon Peter, and answered, said, you are the power of God Almighty. You are the Christ, the eternal presence, power, and truth. This is who you are. You are called the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but who? My Father, who is in heaven. So Peter just got a divine equipping. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the what? Keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now again, he says, who do you say that I am? Peter's revelation was Jesus, the power, truth, wisdom, and the person of God Almighty, all in Christ. In this revelation of reality, Jesus offered an extension of warfare equipment to Peter and to the body, and anyone that knows him is who he is. He offered the extension of equipping. Has everybody got it? And he said, okay, listen, here's the keys of the kingdom. Not everybody's going to give you their keys. Amen? Not everyone has the keys of the kingdom. Not that they're not available, but he hasn't released it to them because he doesn't trust them. Because only those that know him use the keys. Those are the ones that are divinely equipped. So the process, first of all, is getting to know him. Amen? Because without knowing him, then you're not in his presence. You don't know. You know about him. He wants to divinely equip us. Again, Peter's revelation was Jesus was the power, the truth, the wisdom, and the person of God Almighty. Peter was God. I mean, Jesus was God to Peter. You are God. You're the Son of God, but man, you're God. You have all the power. You have all everything. And Jesus offered an extension of warfare equipment called the keys to bind and loose that is connected to the anointing and revelation of Jesus the Christ by knowing him. By what? Knowing him. In Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. See, the world cusses, accuses, condemns. We bind and loose. The world lies. We love the truth. Acts 1:1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. In other words, he gave them direction. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, in other words, after his resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. And what was he doing? He was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was explaining everything about the kingdom to them. He was getting ready and preparing them for a divine exchange. He said, and being assembled with them together, he commanded them. Here's the first command. All right, listen, I want to divinely equip you. You need to get my spirit. You need to have my spirit. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In other words, 10 days from now. That was the first part of their equipping. But before he could equip them, they had to know him. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He wasn't talking about kingdom of Israel. He was talking about an eternal kingdom. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the time or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive what? Power. Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and to the end of the earth. Power. Jesus, for 40 days after resurrection, spoke and taught the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. His priority was to empower his followers. with the Spirit to overcome the world of emotional seeds of corruption and express his integrity, divine nature, and drive out evil presence of deception. And I will repeat that. Hallelujah. Jesus taught them for 40 days. He said his main priority was to empower them. Divine empowerment. Why? So they can overcome a world of emotional seeds of corruption. They're everywhere, no matter where you look. Amen? Emotional seeds of corruption to overcome. To express his integrity. His divine nature. To drive out the evil presence of deception. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Now, are we required to teach what we learn? Amen. See, if you're not equipping yourself to teach what you learned, then he can't trust you either. Verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should obtain abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to what? Walk and to what? Please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your what? Your what? Sanctification, your separation. Your separation from the world, from emotional corruptible seeds. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Here we go back to identity. Because see, if you don't know who you are, there isn't a desire for sanctification and honor. Why? Because you're preserving him, not you. Amen? This is the life exchange now. You're preserving him, not you. You're dead. Amen? We're just allowing him to use this body now. We're yielding to him to use this vessel. This vessel has been buried with him and waiting for the fullness of resurrection so there can be a unity when we get out of here. But in the meantime, we have yielded these vessels to be a vessel of honor and preservation for his presence and glory, for his will to be done, not ours. Amen? I mean, we are coming now, and I can't explain this. I'm going to try to. We are coming to a boundary now where many will cross over and many won't. They won't be able to. This is a place we're left behind and going forward. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Who do not know God. But you know him. You're to know him. You know, again, the first reality of knowing God is in his presence. When then all of a sudden, boom, something happens to you. That change. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. Amen? For that reality to be empowered. That no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Hallelujah. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to what? Holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us his power, or his Holy Spirit. Amen? His power. Sanctification and honor are, as we are, sanctification and honor as a warrior, we are predestined and chosen by God Almighty to represent Jesus, the Christ, in the power in his kingdom, with power by the Holy Spirit, rejecting all emotional seeds of corruption and maintaining an active movement of faith, hope, and love. I'm going to say that again. Hallelujah. Sanctification and honor is a warrior predestined and chosen by God Almighty. We are to represent Jesus the Christ and his kingdom in power, rejecting all emotional seeds of corruption and maintaining an active movement. Maintaining an active movement of faith, of hope, and love. Maintaining an active movement of faith, hope, and love in his divine order. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10. Divinely equipped. Glory. Ephesians 6:10. What does it say? Finally. 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 Wake up. Finally. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hello, there it is. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the trickery wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and how many people forget that? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I want you to know that there are many so-called believers that do not believe in demonic influence. They don't. When you say, who told you that? They're saying, oh, stop that. You think there's a demon around every corner? Yes, and I'm speaking to one right now. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now he gives us the categories of what you and I are to maintain every day. Amen? Take up the shield. Stand therefore, having what? Gird your waist with what? Truth. So you should be a lover of the truth. Having put on breastplate of righteousness, fruits of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the gospel, preparation of the gospel of peace. You should know the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, keeping it active, movement, with which you are able to quench all those who told you that. Does everybody get it? And all those emotional seeds of corruption. These are fiery darts of the wicked one. See, there should be a whole splatter of who told you that's on your shield of faith. All of these. Hallelujah. And take up the helmet of salvation. Nothing shall penetrate. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, in tongues. Amen? And being watchful to the end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. Strong in the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. Connecting your new man daily to the truth. That's connecting. You're connecting your new man every single day by getting dressed with the full armor of God, with the truth and righteousness and so forth. The sword of the Spirit. Tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Connecting with all of these. Why? Because when you're praying in spirit, you should be able to interpret if God wants you to. He's going to give you direction. You might have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom for yourself. Now, for me, I don't go be looking, honestly, there was a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and I don't care. And I don't care what the labels are, as long as I get it. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 5. Divinely equipped. Now, here it is. Are you allowing him divinely equip you? Or are you rejecting it? Are you one that says, I know this already? I know this. I know this. I know this. But are you maintaining it? Chapter 5. Power. Power. What's power again? Positioned overseer with eternal realm. Power. Why? You're to oversee all kinds of things. You're to oversee demonic forces so that it doesn't get to you. Are you the overseer of your thoughts? Yes. What about choices? What about desires? So if you don't have dominion over them, as an overseer, then someone does. That means there's an open door somewhere. Amen? 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, humbleness. Humbleness. And there was a band called Humble Pie. I don't know if any of you remember it, but they weren't humble at all. They were a rock and roll band. They were crazy. Humble Pie. They weren't humble at all, and it didn't taste good either. It says, for God resists the what? Proud. 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 Man, there's a lot of definitions for proud. But he gives grace. He gives more plan to the what? Humble. Submissive. Surrendered. See, pride is always in a survival state of mind. It's all about me, 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 me. Pride can't worship. It's hard for them. It's a hard time for pride to worship because it's so much resistance in an individual. That spirit of pride does everything it can. Why? Because it doesn't want to get cut loose. Listen, when you and I are worshiping the Lord, we should be looking to heaven. Amen? Man, look to heaven. Don't worship your feet. God's not in hell anymore. He's in heaven. Yes, he's in us. I mean, there's a time you can fall on your face, but then fall on your face. But don't be worshiping the Lord like this. You worship. This is supposed to be a joy, not a miserable. Man, I got to worship the Lord. No, it should be joyful. And as you look to him, it says, open your mouth wide, now fill it. Not beep, 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 beep. You don't need to, God is not interested in silence. Unless you're, you know, there's times when he says, shut up, you know. But he wants to hear the worship. Why? Because he's putting something. Every time you're letting go, he's putting something in. It's amazing. People go to a football game and chase that pigskin. Yes! Then they get into worship. Hallelujah. And they wonder why they bite the bait. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. In other words, release to you. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Hello. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about with a big megaphone, planting emotional seeds of corruption, lying and cheating to everyone, and seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Now, let me ask you this. Can you resist him if you're not divinely equipped? No. What about if you don't have power? Oh, you may know the word, but can you still resist him if the anointing isn't there? No. It's like taking a bag of seeds and throwing it at him. Shoo. No, man, you need the sword, Holy Ghost bazooka. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, so you're not the only one when he tells you that. Amen? And may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've gone through trials and tribulations, you've suffered, turn this into perfection, establishment, strength, and settling. That's what he says. Look at Proverbs 22. So what is humility? It's humbleness. It's submission. It's obeying. It's following. Amen? It's rejecting pride. Proverbs 22. Glory. Are you acting your divine equipment? Are you activating it? So you got to turn it on every day. Proverbs 22. Is everybody there? Verse 4. By humility and what? Fear of the Lord. There's three things that come out of this. Riches, honor, and life. Riches, honor, and life. Riches, honor, and life. Verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Wow. To train is to equip. So we train our children up. We're actually equipping them. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10. When people go to school and so forth, they're being equipped to become a part of whatever they want to be, you know, a mechanic, a doctor, a nurse, or whatever. Right? But then there's another equipment that's divine equipment. And the divine equipment, it's different. That's a higher order and a higher call. Amen? It's a higher order and it's a higher call. It's not of this world. It's to overcome this world. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the physical flesh, we do not war against the physical flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down what? Strongholds. These are memory lies, but what are they actually? They are emotional seeds of corruption. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And when you have done that, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen? Strongholds, memory lies, or emotional seeds of corruption. And I'm going to close at Ephesians 4:17. Divinely equipped. That's what separates us from the world. to turn it on is to put it on. Amen. Let's speak it. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, which means the power of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not learned Christ then. If indeed you had heard him and had been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now listen, when he says you've not heard Christ then, you haven't learned the power. You haven't learned the power and the truth and his presence. You haven't learned it. You haven't been trained it. You haven't been equipped with it. Even though it's available, people are rejecting it. You know, some people just want to figure it all out. You can't trust it out. But you've not so learned Christ. If indeed you have, you heard him and have been taught by the anointing, which is in Jesus, that you do what? You put off. Concerning your former conduct. That's not one time. This is a lifestyle now. Every single day and everything that you and I do, every decision and desire that was coming before us, everything is about putting off the old. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Those are emotional seeds of corruption. And be renewed, be refreshed, be connected in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the what? The new man, the anointed one, which was created according to God in what? True righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and don't give place to the devil. Let him who stole no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good that he may have something to give to him as in need. And let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, which will nullify yourself. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace or the plan to the hearer. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And when you do, repent quickly, so he reconnects back with you. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I'm going to say another thing. Let all doubt, fear, and unbelief get put away from you. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Divinely equipped with what? Power. Amen. You are positioned overseer with eternal realm. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. In other words, this has been an added addition to us and a reminder of our identity. It's what something the enemy constantly is drifting from God's people. Who they are. Who they are. The world exploits, puffs up all riches and fame and glory and all the works of goodness and all the other things to try and discredit your identity. Amen? Don't fall into that. Maintain who you really are. And if you know him, you'll know who you are. Amen? Praise God. Lord, we thank you. Seal it, protect it, anoint it, and reconnect us so that we are positioned as overseers with the eternal realm. In Jesus' name.